morning. Thanks for worshiping with us, and thanks for coming out. Beautiful week that God has given us. And all right, it's phased out on you. There we go. Well, we're in a series of favorites, and Zeke did a favorite. David and Jonathan last week did a great job, and so did the youth, so give it up to them. Someone has requested that I preach on Elijah Speaks with God. Was that you? Who was that? All right, Lydia. Okay, that's what we're going to do today. So if you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. We'll go there in just a second. Let me tell you about the couple that were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Some of you have been there before. And during the meal, the wife leans over to her husband and she said, "Honey, for 50 years you've been tried and true." And he said, "What?" She said, "For 50 years you've been tried and true." And he said, "You know I can't hear." So she said it real loud, "For 50 years you've been tried and true." And he said, "For 50 years I've been tired of you too." Well, I think sometimes it's how we listen to God. Sometimes it is in a big way, and sometimes it is in a small way. But I think as impatient Christians, I think we want a mountaintop experience all the time. Amen? We're used to that. But I want you to know that God doesn't always work that way. Let me tell you a little bit about Elijah first. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived of God. He prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel around the 9th century B.C. And he was one of only two men that never tasted death. Anybody want to know the other guy? Enoch. And here's the way of remembering that. They both begin with the letter E. So you can't forget it. Elijah and Enoch. And I would say that Elijah was a fireball. He was always involved in fire. You notice about that, about his prophecy and his ministry. But he had one problem. And her name was Queen Jezebel. And we're going to talk about her in just a little bit. Read with me, if you will, in 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was what? He was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than any of my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. At once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broke down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Pay attention here. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Jezebel, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve, how many? 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouth have not been kissed by him." All right. Elijah had just defeated 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Not that Mount Carmel, another Mount Carmel over in Israel. And now he's running for his life. And it seems like he loses his reliance upon God. You ever do that? I do sometimes. I think that I can handle this, God. I really don't need you at this time. Lord, I'm capable. I've been a Christian for all these years. I think I can handle it. It is then that we get in trouble, amen? When we try to rely upon ourselves, we become like Elijah and we lose our focus. How is it that Elijah has just defeated 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, a spiritual high for him, and then in just a few hours he's running for his life from one crazy woman? Can I just tell you this? Behold your amens, maybe. Never underestimate the power of a lonely woman, especially one that's crazy. Now you can say amen. What you need to remember about the story that we sometimes forget is these prophets of Baal's were Jezebel's biggest supporters. She had thrown money in them. She had thrown her time and her energy into these 400 prophets of Baal. And now they were gone. They were no more. They're done. They're out of here. They're toast. All because of God used Elijah to get his will done. Jezebel was crazy. How crazy was she? She was so crazy that she would go up against one of God's most faithful servants in all of creation, Elijah. And she didn't care because she had an agenda. Did I tell you, beware of crazy women? Did I tell you that? And Jezebel was crazy. And Elijah, even though one of the strongest spiritual giants for the Lord, was scared. He was scared. Have you ever been on a mountaintop experience? Have you ever had a spiritual high, and then just a few days later, you have a spiritual low? Hey, raise your hand. You ever been there before? I think we all have to some degree or another. And it's like, God, where are you at? And most of the time, we blame God. But it's not God's fault. God never moves, right? God's always the same. Same yesterday and today and forevermore. We are the ones that move. And while we're doing the right things to have this spiritual high, in just a few hours or days, we're doing things that give us a spiritual low. It's called life. And the Bible says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, and so will we. Elijah had been up here, and now he was down here. Pull out your bulletins. I want to give you a few lessons that we can learn from the life of Elijah that we can put into practice for ourselves. The first one is this. Elijah's faith was replaced by his fear. His faith was replaced by his fear. Look at verses 1 through 5. "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them.' Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down underneath that tree, and he fell asleep." We find here that Elijah was scared for two reasons. Number one, he was scared of Jezebel. And number two, he was scared of death. And I believe that in this story, they kind of go together. Because when someone say, be it ever so severely that I don't do this by this time tomorrow, that's a serious thing in Jesus' day and in Elijah's day. That was something serious. When someone said that, they usually did whatever it took to carry that out. And Jezebel was no different. She was going to carry it out if she could. But how come Elijah gets so depressed he wants to die? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but have you ever been so low that you said, Lord, I've had enough? I talked to somebody just the other day, and they told me this. Everything that I'm going through, I'm just taking up time, just waiting to die. Christian man. But how do we ever get that low? Lord, I'm just taking up time, waiting to die. I believe that happens when we take our eyes off God. That's when it happens. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells his good friend Timothy that God hath not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. In Hebrews 13:6, the Hebrew writer says, when God is our helper, we do not have to fear. We don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear anyone. Because when God goes before us, we're going to get to where we're going. And if you don't remember anything else I say this morning, at least remember this. I want you to write it down. Oftentimes, discouragement comes after a great spiritual victory. Write it down. Because it's true in our life. Oftentimes, discouragement comes after a great spiritual victory. I have seen building programs take place in the church, and it was a spiritual high. Have you ever seen this before? Everybody's excited, and we got this spiritual awakening, and this building program is great. We can't wait, and people are going to come in, and people are going to worship the Lord, and they're going to see what we've done, and they're going to want to be a part of our church. Spiritual high. Guess what happens afterwards? Spiritual low. Matter of fact, professors will tell you that if you're going through a building project, keep your resume close, preachers. Because oftentimes we get involved in that spiritual high, we can't handle the spiritual lows when things don't go so great. When the building project is over, and that's when Satan kind of crawls in and causes trouble in the church. Be aware of that, amen? Be aware. The second thing we learn about Elijah is this. Elijah's victory was replaced by his failure. In 1 Kings 18, verse 40, back up just a little bit. It says there, then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let any of them get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah came to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went and he looked. There was nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported a cloud, as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came, and Ahab rode off toward Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now, if commentators are right, Elijah would have ran 6-mile sprint without stopping. Now, I'm not a runner, as you can tell. You don't need to say amen or nothing. But I want you to know that that's a pretty long sprint. And most sprinters run about maybe 100 yards, and they're pretty much starting to wimp out. This dude runs 6 miles without hardly shedding any kind of sweat or tears, and he makes it. He makes it. Now, if you remember, Elijah had put all these prophets of Baal to death, and he's on this spiritual high, and it continues You remember it hadn't rained in that area for a long time. Remember that? And Elijah tells his servant to go check out, see if there's any rain. There's this rain cloud about the size of a guy's hand. And rain, a pouring down rain is going to come from there. And Elijah is going to run in the rain. And Ahab is going to run with his chariot. And guess who's going to win? Elijah outruns him. He outruns him. Now the Bible says that God gave Elijah a special strength. You'd have to have a special strength to outrun a chariot. You'd have to have a special strength to outrun any kind of a horse. Elijah had that special strength. He had that special strength. Either that or Ahab had a very slow horse. I don't know. We don't have any evidence of that. But what happens immediately after that is an amazing breakdown of the Spirit. Now, you may not think anything about the drought, but here's what's so significant about the drought. Elijah used the drought as a tool of safety from Queen Jezebel. As long as it didn't rain, Jezebel knew that Elijah had the power to make it rain, so she held out on killing Elijah. And Elijah finally says it's going to rain, and he runs for his life away from this crazy woman. Did I tell you, be careful around crazy women? When we're on a spiritual high one moment, we're on a spiritual low the next moment. It is then that the devil crawls in from behind to wreak havoc on your Christian life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in your faith. The devil knew that Elijah was vulnerable. And he knows when you and I are vulnerable, when we have a spiritual high, look out, because there's a spiritual low that just might come next, and you better beware. Because God is strong, but so is Satan. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, and he doesn't care about you. He wants you to go to hell with him. Had Elijah failed the test that God had called him to do? Not really. He had just lost some of his faith. And I believe there's times in our life, no matter how strong you think you are, there are times in our life when our faith wavers. It is then we draw closer to God and closer to His Word to get back on track. Friends, let me remind you, don't ever put your guard down, because Satan loves to work when you do that. A third thing we learned about Elijah is this: Elijah's energy was replaced by his fatigue. Elijah just runs 6 miles, full sprint. Rightfully so, he was physically, emotionally, and psychologically, and maybe even spiritually tired. If you look back at how far Elijah had actually traveled those few days, 200 miles, which would have been a long way. I don't know who coined the phrase, but I believe it's true. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Our human bodies were not made to go, 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 go. Elijah explains that to us. And I think sometimes we're like Elijah. We think we can go, 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 don't need any rest, get 3 hours of sleep, and go, 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 go. And eventually what happens? Not only does your physical body break down, but your emotional body breaks down, your psychological body breaks down, and also your spiritual body breaks down as well. Friends, you need rest. There's a reason the lights go out. The sun goes down, the moon comes up. It means go to bed. For 10 years, I worked at Champion Laboratories. I was nuts. I like working at night. And I guess I'm still nuts because I still like working at night. Anyone else? I've always been a night owl. That's the way I've been. But I want you to know that the nighttime is made for sleeping and the daytime is made for work. Can I get an amen? Fatigue makes cowards of us all. It did with Elijah and it does with us. I love what Isaiah says in 40, verses 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Say it with me. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let me ask you this morning, are you tired? Are you physically spent? Has your emotions overcome your sound mind? Are you psychologically not what you used to be? Are you spiritually tired? Can I encourage you, slow down, take a deep breath, and learn to rest in God's power, and He will get you where you need to go. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, we were not meant to go on 3 hours sleep, but we were meant to rest. Rest for the weary, rest for your body, rest for your spirit, rest for your soul. Elijah needed physical and spiritual help, and God gave it to him, and He'll give it to you too. A fourth thing we learn about Elijah is this: Elijah's hope was replaced by frustration. In 1 Kings 19:10, Elijah says, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of the prophets. I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Elijah was tired, frustrated. He thought he was the only prophet left on God's green earth. But in 1 Kings 18:4, and Elijah would have known about this, it says the prophet Obadiah was a devoted follower of God, and he had hidden 100 of the prophets of God in 2 separate caves. Elijah would have known this, but he was too busy throwing a pity party for himself that he did not know that God had preserved at least 100 faithful prophets of God. Now, if you look in 1 Kings 19:18, it says, "I, the Lord, will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him." Now, Elijah might have been a great runner. I want you to tell you, he was a terrible mathematician. He could not figure it out. He was off just about 7,101. That's bad math. There were several that had not bowed a knee to the prophet Baal. How could this happen? How could Elijah miss this important part? How could he miss the fact that God had preserved all these prophets in Israel? I believe it's the same way the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians 4:8. He writes, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And maybe that's the way you feel this morning. You have allowed the frustrations, the temptations, and the struggles of life to replace the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't sigh, it happens. I want to add one more scripture to point number four, and I want you to write it down. It comes out of 1 Corinthians 10:12, where Paul says, "Be careful when you think you are standing firm, lest you fall." I have seen some of the most faithful preachers that I knew in my day fall by the wayside because they put their guard down. They wasn't careful standing firm in the faith, and they no longer minister. As a matter of fact, some of those one-time ministers are no longer in the church. How could this happen? It's very simple, the devil. And I want you to know today that if you think you are standing strong, be careful lest you fall. Elijah couldn't remain on the mountaintop forever, and neither can we. Sometimes we're going to have to be in the valleys, and that's when we lean on God the most. A fifth thing we learn from Elijah is this: God met Elijah's physical, psychological, and spiritual needs. 1 Kings 19:5 says, after Elijah had laid down under a broom tree and wanted to die, it says, "All at once an angel of the Lord touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' Elijah looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So Elijah got up, he ate and he drank. He was strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night." Did a lot of eating and a lot of drinking and a lot of sleeping. Now, this is not the only time we run into 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on Mount Sinai. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was in the desert being tempted by the devil. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. And don't forget, Noah, the torrential rainpour, 40 days and 40 nights. God knew what Elijah needed. He needed rest. Until Elijah got rest, he was no good to God. I think there's a valuable lesson here Friends, you may be overworked, overstressed out. You're only getting 2 and 3 hours sleep a day. I want you to know, God can't use you like that. God can't use you like that. He needs you to lay down. He needs you to rest. He needs you to eat right. And when you get up and be refreshed, He is ready to use you for His kingdom. We had a lady at Buck Creek. She was new to the church. She loved the church, and we loved her being there. But we had a meeting, and we had the different ministries, and people had a chance to sign up. And guess what? She signed up every single ministry in our church. On the way home, I told Ching, I said, this lady's going to burn herself out. About 6 months later, guess what happened? She burned herself out. She not only quit those ministries, she quit the church. And we look back on that and we realize that you can do too much. You can spread yourself way too thin. And instead of being used by God in a most dramatic way, you're not being used by God in any way because you're too tired. Get some rest. Slow down. Learn to delegate responsibilities. I had a minister friend that did everything. And I said, man, you need to stop doing that. You're going to burn yourself out. Well, guess what he did? He burned himself out. Yeah, he made it to retirement. But then after that, the church fell apart. You want to know why? Because he did it all. You can't do that. Learn to delegate responsibility. And here's another thing. Write it down. Learn to say no. I know people that always say yes. Will you do this? Yes. Will you do this? Yes. And then they have all these projects at home that their wife wants them to do. And when they get home, they're too tired to do all these projects. How many carpenters do we have here today? I have noticed that when I go to a carpenter's house, their house is a mess. You want to know why? They're so busy helping other people, they don't have time to help their wife. And their wife's always mad at them. I understand. They just need to slow down and listen to their wife. In 1 Kings 19, verse 11, it says, Elijah, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. I want you to really pay attention here. It said, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. I don't want you to miss this morning. I want you to take this home with you. Because God does not always show himself in big dramatic ways. He does not always show himself through an earthquake or a smashing mountain. Sometimes he shows himself in a gentle whisper. And I just want you to know today, I'm not good at this. I want God to always work in a big, most dramatic way. But sometimes God says, shh, just listen, just listen. As I look back over my life, I realized there was a lot of times I didn't listen when God was trying to tell me something in a gentle whisper and I was waiting for a bombshell. In Matthew 17, 1-3, we run into Elijah and Moses as they stand at the top of the mountain with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where He is being transfigured before them. I want you to know that even though Elijah was up or down in the valley, on that day he was up on the mountain. Friends, in your walk with Christ, learn to listen to God's gentle whisper, because that may be the way He's speaking to you. Well, sixth and finally, we must remember that life is full of struggles. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we always get to where we're going. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if Christ can find joy in going to the cross, then I can find some joy in the midst of my problems. And I don't care what you're going through today, nothing compares to what Jesus went through on the cross for you. And if He can do that, you can get through what you're going through. I love what Paul writes in Romans 8, my favorite chapter in all the Bible. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the angels nor the demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor the height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can read that so fast because I love that verse. And whatever you're going through this morning, I want you to know, if you keep your eyes focused on God, you win. And maybe you're going through some struggles right now. Elijah did. Don't think you won't. The Bible says rain falls on the just and the unjust. Rise and sets, just and the unjust. We're going to have troubles in life. We don't like it. Here's Carson's theology. Lord, why can't you just put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe all the time? Amen. We just love to have a hedge of protection around you, keep you safe all the time. I want you to know that'd be great, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that just like the unchristians are going to have trouble, Christians are going to have trouble. True, it's nothing Greek to us. It's something that we have to accept. It's something that we have to adhere to. And maybe you're going through one of the biggest struggles of your life right now. Hold on. Hold on. Because when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we always get to our Mount Horeb. We always get there. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. We have this in our living room. We paid a lot of money for it. I think it's about $100. Just to know, to be still, know that I am God. But you know, one of the scriptures I struggle with the most? Psalm 46:10. Sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes you just need to learn to keep your mouth shut, amen? And listen, because God might be speaking to you in a gentle whisper. And you better pay attention. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this chapter, 1 Kings 19. Because it just goes to show that Elijah had physical, psychological, spiritual problems just like we do. And even though he was one of your most faithful prophets, he struggled with depression. He struggled with self-worth from time to time. Lord, we're going to struggle too. Lord, help us to remember that you don't always come in the blast of a mountain or an earthquake. Sometimes you come in just a gentle whisper. And Lord, maybe someone needs to hear that gentle whisper this morning. Lord, let it be. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.